Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Well, hey, man, let's give a shout-out to Vanderbilt University.
Very nice job,
they did something that I think is phenomenal. Vanderbilt mates Candace Lee, the Southeastern Conference first female black athletic director. Shout-out to them, man. Big time. Vanderbilt has great hired job. Candace Lee as the athletic director, making her the first female athletic, the first female athletic director, and the first African American woman to lead an SEC athletic department. Lee was captain on Vanderbilt's women's basketball team, graduating 20 years ago. She becomes just the fifth female athletic director amongst the Power Five schools. Shout out to them. Lee has been serving as interim. She replaced Malcolm Turner, who resigned after 1 year in the position, which is still, I don't understand that one. In addition to being athletic director, Lee will hold the title of vice chancellor for athletics and university affairs. This is really a good deal, man. Let's hear from Candace Lee, who's on Fred and Fitzsimmons. We got to get on, too. Being called a pioneer about being, of course, appointed to this position. Let's take a listen.
It's really interesting, humbling to hear words like pioneer and trailblazer, and I appreciate that. I know it's significant, and it just reminds me of the responsibility that lies ahead. I want to do a great job for all the people that I'm working with and for, but I also want to make sure that I'm not a deterrent when there are other opportunities presented to other people of color and other women and just other people who are deserving of opportunities. There are a lot of people out there that just need a chance. And so if part of this can mean that there are more opportunities to come for others, I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
Nice.
She also gave some insight on Freddie and Fred Simmons about the background with the school. Let's take a listen.
I hope it gives me some helpful insight, but I'm really careful about that, too, because I don't want to suggest that there's not so much more that I can learn. And, you know, I was an athlete several years ago. So, you know, that experience has changed some. And so I hope that it's helpful. When I think about, you know, putting myself in the shoes of our current student athletes and those to come, but I also understand that I don't fully know what their experience is. So it's important for me to get input and to just always be learning. That's what I've spent a lot of time doing that. I don't want to profess to have all the answers, but I'm certainly going to do my best to help us continue to take steps forward.
Okay, Max, it's interesting. I just thought about this. If you look at Vanderbilt University, and that's a very tough school to get in. Academics is extremely high. If you look at the high revenue generating sports, now it's being led by, of course, African-American female. Basketball, Jerry Stackhouse, friend of the show, leads the men's basketball program. And the football program is being led by the African-American. That's, I mean, they putting it together over there in Nashville. And a lot of people, I mean, quietly, they're really doing it. And shout out to them when they look at diversity. They asked her about diversity, particularly, and we're going to talk about this later in the show, about the Rooney Rule, about diversity in the NFL. And they asked her thoughts on diversity, the diversity push that we've been talking about all week. This was Candace Lee had to say on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Take a listen.
The only thing I'll say is that in this country, you know, we've not always given opportunities to people that deserved it. And, you know, race has been an issue for a long time. And I think that there are all kinds of efforts and initiatives to try to create equity. And all I know is that there are a lot of people, and I've been saying this all day, and I'm going to say it again. There are a lot of people out there who are ready, who are primed to run their own department or, you know, take a leadership role, and they just need the chance to do it. I support efforts to give deserving people opportunities.
Wow. Oh, man. That, you know, I like her response to that. Just give them opportunities and exposure to certain things. And I just think things like what we've been watching from Vanderbilt University and the leadership there and them not being afraid to put individuals like herself in leadership positions, sure. I think is going to go a long way in just changing – you know, a lot of people's ideas about what can and can't be done. Not to say that other universities and other institutions aren't doing similar things, But it's just nice to see such a prominent university stepping out saying, look, we're just going to get the best candidate that we think is going to help us move forward and be the best we can be.
Yeah, I agree. I kudos to them. It's phenomenal. They a leading example. They're not afraid to do it. A lot of people, you know, sometimes people are a little reluctant to step out there in terms of diversity aspect of it. But just look at Vanderbilt. They're doing it at the highest level. And shout out to them. Kind of make you, me personally, make me want to pull for them, you know, a little bit because it seems like they're a living example of what's going on. All right, so let's pivot real quickly, guys. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mac.
I was going to say, and it looks like the process of having individuals like herself and others who are part of the university, you know, in that pipeline, be ready, you know, to step up and take these positions is pretty significant because a lot of times people think they have to look outside the university for success. And here's an example of someone who is a part of the university and a part of what they've been building, and she was ready to step up and take that role. So,
yeah, then it just reminded me, it's not like it's up in New York anywhere. This is like Nashville, Tennessee. I mean,
yeah, it's real Nashville too, though. By the way,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is Nashville, Tennessee. It's like it's California. So obviously, we give them a shout out, and really, we'll be watching that program as it moves forward. But let's pivot a little bit. Yesterday we kind of stumbled into this, K-Mac. And can you somewhat explain to people, you know, what does a plus one Hall of Fame induction?
Oh,
yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, all right. So in light of the Last Dance documentary, a lot of things have been, you know, spawned off of that. And, you know, we're no different here at the Sports Shop. Scottie Pippen has been reportedly not overly ecstatic about his role in portrayal in the documentary, as he was just a role player, as he was just a throw-in, as he was just okay. And basically, he was mad about being portrayed as a plus one. That's really what he did. I mean, he's a plus one. So it made us think, when you talk about plus one, you think about who is extremely significant to success, to anything, success, notoriety, taste, whatever. Their existence is absolutely critical to overall success, but at the end of the day, they can never be the main dish, so to speak. They always got to be the plus one.
Plus one.
And it made me think about these.
Okay.
Like French fries.
French fries.
Yes.
French fries will forever and always be plus one. But you can't have burgers without fries.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just everything, you know, would you like fries with that?
Yes.
See what I'm saying? But no one comes up and says, hey, let me get a large fry and can you throw it and say, would you like a burger with that? You know what I mean? Would you like a hot dog with that?
It doesn't happen.
It goes the other way. So French fries will always and forever be a plus one.
Okay. So in the spirit of we talking about the cookout and we talking about frying fish, you know a plus one got to be hot sauce. Come on now. you know a plus one got to be hot sauce.
Wow.
Right back.
He go to the hot sauce is a plus one.
Wow.
You know, that's true. I mean, it'd be, yeah, you know, hot sauce is definitely a plus one. It's definitely a plus one. I mean, I had all types. I mean, it's, you know, but it's just so, it's so many. All right, here's my other one. You're going to love this one, Racy.
Right.
The plus one Hall of Fame. This is truly like, this gives you, this just is cut and dry. Krispy Kreme. Who are quite honestly, they are a donut staple outside of in Boston. Anywhere else in the country, Krispy Kreme rules. Yeah. They rule the day. Hot Now, for those of you that don't know what Hot Now is, I'm not telling you because you should.
You should.
So I'm not telling you.
I've seen accidents being caused by the Hot Now.
Yeah. Come
on now. Exactly. I know people have gotten up out of their bed at 11 o'clock at night. And said, I think Hot Now's on. Let's go.
If you don't know Hot Now, you probably vote for fish.
You probably do.
That's a damn good point. That's a damn good point. So, Krispy Kreme Hot Now Donuts will forever make any other donut they sell a plus one. It doesn't matter if it's the chocolate feel, if it's the cream, if it's the sprinkles.
That's funny business.
If it's the lemon custard or if it's the chocolate dip, matter.
It don't matter.
No matter who you are, what donut you are at Krispy Kreme, if you're not Hot Now, you are forever and will always be plus one.
If you're not Hot Now, you're going to retire as a donut because you may not never go out the door.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. More plus one donuts get thrown out at Krispy Kreme than any other donut.
Exactly.
So they will forever be plus ones.
I know, DC, what you got? I know you got some plus ones.
I have a couple, but my first one's going to be, we're going to stick with the food theme. I'm going to go with bacon.
Okay.
Bacon is a Hall of Fame plus one because anytime you hear an item, a food item, oh, it's wrapped in bacon. Oh, that automatically makes it a little bit better. It's a great side piece to go with your eggs, your waffles, your pancakes, your French toast, whatever it is that you're having that day. You can add bacon to it. You can put, you know what, on my burger that I may have on the grill, I want to throw some bacon on that.
That's true.
Bacon, plus one Hall of Fame.
That's true.
But you know what's so bad about it? Bacon is so damn good. It should be able to break out of the plus one.
It should. Stand on its own.
It should. Yeah.
But it just can't.
It is the Scottie Pippen of food.
It's the Scottie. There you go. That's it.
So other words, so bacon didn't get the right contract. It should have held out. Like Scottie Pippen.
We've tried everything.
Society is like Jerry Krause, right? We don't treat the bacon at the level that it should be treated, man.
We've tried everything. We tried Tony Kukoc in the bacon, right? we went and got some. Now we got candied bacon. You know what I mean? They do all this stuff, maple syrup, dip it in chocolate. We do all of this stuff, trying to make bacon, trying to get it over the hump. It never works. Bacon is always it is what it is.
That's solid.
It will forever
bacon,
and always be.
That's pretty solid there, man.
So consider yourself Scottie Pippen as bacon.
Or hot sauce or all other donuts.
I actually have one more inductee. This one of one
okay,
final
you
inductee
got?
Here
what you got?
Into the plus one Hall of Fame. The rest of Destiny's Child. Other than Beyonce.
Boom.
That is a plus one Hall of Fame right there.
That's definitely a plus one Hall of Fame right there. All of them.
So you got Beyonce and any other Destiny Child member is a plus one. Period. It doesn't matter which one you are. You can be Michelle. You can be any of them. Plus
the girl
one.
The girl that came up to the studio, I didn't know who she was. What was her name?
That was Michelle Reese.
That was Michelle. Oh. Well,
exactly.
There you go.
Plus one.
He still don't know she is. And that's why she should be a plus one. Now, if Beyonce walked in the studio, I remember that.
Who
the hell is Michelle?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, just player-wise, so you got the Splash Brothers. You got Steph Curry. It doesn't matter where he goes, what he does from here on out.
Right.
Klay Thompson will always be a plus one.
What about Giannis? Well, that's interesting.
He will always be plus one, man.
So is Anthony Davis plus one?
To who?
To LeBron.
No, they ain't really done nothing. But.
Huh?
No, not really, because they haven't really done anything.
Wait a minute. LeBron has won three championships, came back.
And the day he wasn't nowhere around when that happened.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? He was nowhere around when that happened.
Okay.
He was lost. He was lost in the sauce. Nowhere.
I'm going to throw one out here for you all.
Talk to me.
All right.
What you got?
Shaq, plus one Hall of Fame. He won four titles, three with Kobe Bryant, one with Dwayne Wade.
Wow.
Ooh.
I don't know about that. I got to think about that for a second.
Didn't win any with Penny Hardaway in Orlando.
No. But he was, well, yeah. So you, okay, let me, man, you're making me think now. So we're going the other way. Kobe. So Shaq could, wait a minute, Kobe could win without Shaq, but Shaq, so basically we're saying Shaq couldn't win
without
Kobe.
That's right. Well, Shaq did win without Kobe, and
what about
but he won one with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Right. So can Dwayne win without Shaq?
He won three with LeBron. Or two with LeBron, sorry.
Ooh.
He won two with LeBron.
Yeah, two with LeBron, sorry. Or is Dwayne Wade a plus? Maybe they're both plus ones. Maybe they're the plus one Hall of Fame.
plus one equals, give me two.
Plus one and a possible. Plus one and a possible.
That sounds like a vacation.
That's our card game.
Hey, I like that. Any football plus ones? Anybody know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Terrell Davis.
Terrell Davis was plus one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but John Elway.
And he only played like 4 years.
Mm.
Still in the real Hall of Fame.
Well, what about everybody? Well, yeah. What about everybody that played with Tom Brady?
Right. Whether it be true or not, it's going to end up being that way. It's Tom Brady and anybody in. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Or is Tom Brady Bill Belichick's plus one or vice versa?
Ooh. I wish I would have said Tom Brady. I'm like, what? Tom Brady's definitely Bill Belichick plus one. It depends on how they do this year without Tom. Then we could definitely say that. Ooh. This is a tough one here, man. Football is interesting.
It's who's going to be, who's your plus one? But I get it. I mean, but I do like Destiny Child, Beyonce, and any of them.
That's a classic there. That's the undefeated one right there, man.
Hot Now and any other donut. don't matter which one you are. I don't care how good you think you are.
Those are the first ballot Hall of Famers right there. Those two.
Exactly. So I don't know. So is Kevin Durant? Anybody's plus one?
Don't tell him that.
He ain't lying. Now he would think everybody else was plus one to him when he came to the Warriors.
It's not turning out that way.
Well, because they did win without Kevin Durant. That's in my check, right?
That's right. That's why he went in the first place, because they were winning.
Right. Exactly.
And he wasn't. And he's still not now.
Well, let's find out from a guy who is a expert on the topic.
Yes.
Of anything that's existing in the world. On LeBron. Definitely on LeBron. Definitely. Let's go to Mike and Gary. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
Y'all need to stop this right now. Stop it.
Why?
First of all, carrying y'all's argument, pancakes, waffle, and French toast are plus one because they ain't nothing without the syrup.
Oh,
or is syrup?
So wait a minute. Hold on. Now, who's the plus one? The syrup or pancakes, waffles, or French toast? Who's the plus one?
The pancakes, waffles, and French toast are the plus one because syrup can go with sausage. Syrup can win with anything.
Hmm. Mm.
Yeah, but does syrup win by itself?
Right. Yeah, right.
Of course it does.
All right. See that? You know what though? See syrup is like that Shaq argument. You see what I'm saying? It's like that.
Earl Reed is a plus one because he ain't getting into the Broadcast Hall of Fame without K Mac.
Okay. And vice versa.
That's exactly right. But listen, you guys have to stop this bullshit. So I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna give you a name. Lou Alcindor.
Oh.
What he win without Magic?
Oh, he won a championship.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right. One. And with who was his plus one? A little guy named Bobby Dandridge. Bobby D. Bobby D from Norfolk State.
Dude, man, this dude.
Oh, by the way, he had a little guy named the Big O on his team too, Oscar Robinson.
Yeah,
I was just about to say, Michael, you leaving out a big part of that team.
No, I went with Bobby Dean because my high school history teacher went to college with Bobby Dean and was always dropping flexing. He was doing a Reese.
He was doing a Reese.
We were in the student union organizing. Bobby D. He dropped Bobby D's name all the time. So I gotta mention Bobby D, who also won one with Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes with the Bullets.
Yep, the Washington Bullets. That's true.
So maybe Lou Alcindor is Bobby D's plus one. See, that's crazy about this stuff. That's what's crazy. The only one you can say is that one kind of was the guy is Michael Jordan. Even with him, you know, you say, yeah, he didn't win without Scotty, but Scotty didn't do anything without Michael. And he went and chased titles, too, to Portland and to the Rockets.
Yep, he did. You're right about that. He sure did.
Right? The closest one that could have been his own guy was when Charles Barkley went to the Phoenix Suns, because the best player the Suns had, other than him, was KJ.
Right, it's like Kevin Johnson.
The mayor of Sacramento. But he didn't get it done. So y'all need to stop this foolishness right now. Everyone needs complimentary players. No man is an island. Or as Neil Diamond once famously said, I am, I said.
I am, I said. Way, okay.
French Toast is the winner because French toast is so dang good and delicious. They made a sandwich, the Monte Cristo, like French toast.
Okay.
Oh, that's what that is. Oh, yeah,
you're trying to say. They don't make a pancake sandwich.
They don't make a pancake. Well, no.
Waffle sandwich.
No, that's not true. Now they do make waffle. They do make waffle sandwiches, but Monte Cristo is a staple. But the Monte Cristo is a staple, though. You're right.
And if they make a sandwich with a pancake, it's an accident. Something fell out of the cabinet.
They're wraps.
I agree with you.
Ooh, crates. I guess you heard that, Michael.
It's you called heard a crate, that. Not a pancake.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's called, a crate.
That's right.
So, Michael, what are you cooking this weekend for your cookout, for Memorial Day weekend cookout?
You better not say fish.
I'm smoking a Boston butt.
Oh, good.
No, not Dwight Howard.
That would be an L.A. butt at the time.
Well, you know, if you wait long enough, he'll play for Boston before it's all said.
Probably so.
He's going to get his grip. Go to Boston for us all.
He will make his rounds, trust me.
Oh, man. This
Boston butt with some South Carolina inspired mustard based sauce.
Ooh.
Wait a minute now.
Okay.
Hold it. Mustard based sauce, Michael? Seriously?
Mustard based. It's a mix up. Between North Carolina, because I really emphasize the vinegar in it, so it's not sweet mustard based like Maurice, like that's junk they served out South Carolina. It's more, it's got a little twang to it.
Okay, all right. I see where you're going with this. Okay,
he talks like he knows what he's doing, man.
And also, by the way, rest assured, I will hydrate my raisins before I put it in my potato salad.
You know what? You better hang up this damn phone right now.
That's
oh man, you know what? You guys got people really believing this, by the way. He hydrated.
Tell Susan I said hi.
This is a big cookout weekend, the first official holiday for the summer holiday. You know, and we had this conversation yesterday about a cookout. Is that, did I say it right, guys? We were talking about cookouts and talking about what we would bring to a cookout.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What's your go-to? What's your go-to dish? if you're having a cookout or if you're attending a cookout, what's your go-to?
I mean, okay. Besides the obvious, I'm not gonna bring the obvious because some people
think,
sometimes that's my go-to, but sometimes I'm gonna want to change it because you don't want people to predict what you're gonna do. You gotta throw them off from time to time. So I can't.
First of all, we don't eat everybody potato salad.
That's true.
So don't be encouraging that kind of foolishness.
Right. I might bring my specialized corn on the cob scenario. Ooh. Corn on the cob.
I'm interested.
Tell me more.
I'm interested. Keep talking. I'm interested.
Go on.
So what I do, Mac, is I take the corn on the cob and you put it. It got to be fresh corn on the cob. So you got to peel first.
I'm tracking.
So you put a little butter on it right there, seven ears. You get ears of corn, put a butter. Then you put a little tab of brown sugar in there. Listen to me now.
Oh.
And you wrap it up. Then you wrap it up in aluminum foil and let it sit there sometime. But here's the kicker though. When you take it out, you sprinkle. Now this is gonna throw the whole thing out. You sprinkle a little Old Bay, just a little on there. Then you're good to go.
Really?
Old Bay with brown sugar? Interesting.
I know that sounds weird. Try it.
No. I'm tracking. I'm following you here.
Now, light brown sugar or dark brown sugar?
Light brown sugar.
Okay.
Gotta be light. Yeah, brown sugar.
Yeah. Trust me, I got this. I know what I'm talking about.
I'm feeling the sweetness with the old bay there.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm feeling that one though.
Yeah. Nice. Trust me, when you're in quarantine, you come up with all kind of stuff. But I've actually tried that before though.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'll go with my I have a baked bean recipe. With some baked beans and it's almost a meal in itself, but I have a baked bean recipe. I add some.
What you add to it?
Some ground turkey to it.
And yep.
It's, man, it's really good. Really good. It's brown sugar, of course, with brown sugar, et cetera,
right.
With barbecue sauce. And don't tell my man Orlando this, but I cheat with just a tad bit of liquid smoke. Just a little bit. Don't tell Orlando.
That's a damn snitch right there.
Exactly. just a touch of liquid smoke. Old school way, I would put it in a pan and just leave it on the grill and just let it smoke. But, us millennials, we don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. Dry cereal and liquid smoke. That's what we do. Hey, DC, what you bringing, man?
That's offensive, Reese.
I'm bringing some mac and cheese. Now, I'm bringing mac and cheese, but you got to make sure that you use the good stuff with it. You got to use whole milk. You got to use some heavy whipping cream. You got to get that thick mac and cheese. All right? Use some sharp cheddar, a little Gruyere. But I'm also going to go along the lines of what Reese said with his corn on the cob. Got to add some smoked paprika in there.
Yes.
Okay, so it's along the lines, similar to what the Old Bay can bring.
Okay.
But add some paprika in there. So a little bit similar to the Old Bay. But you got to add some paprika in there too. Top it off with some breadcrumbs. That's what I'm bringing.
you coming strong.
Oh, I'm coming. Hey, we're doing a cookout. We're doing a cookout.
He coming strong, Reese. It's going to be hard to kind of contend with that.
Hey, Daniel said, "Can't make grilling with you could be a show by itself." As a sports star ever hosted a cooking contest. We haven't hosted a cooking test, but we did. Can't make. Well, we hosted a barbecue 101 that we had.
That's right.
Remember that?
Is that where Jasmine needed a napkin?
That was a contest.
But this way, they told you how to cook. We should think about doing that again. It was pretty good. We're going to get you ready. We already told you about what you should bring to the cookout. Now we're talking about the music. And maybe you want to tell some jokes and make people laugh. And we're so excited about having the first time on the Sports Shop. Well, I think it's the first time on the Sports Shop, K-Mac. We rocking, man. Mm-hmm. He hails from Chicago, and he's called into the Sports Shop. And we're so happy to have Damon Williams rocking with us this morning. Good morning, Damon. How you doing?
What up, Reese? What up, K? How y'all feel this morning? Man, good, we brother. How are you?
We feeling good, man. We just trying to make it happen. You doing good?
Real good. Yeah, yeah. Y'all playing. That's what I call tavern music right there. I play a little like bit that. Of that myself around the house, man.
Hey, man. So, tavern. So, yeah, tavern music. That's interesting. Hey,
as Jamie, opposed to the liquor house.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in Chicago. You know, we up north, I guess. So we kick it in the taverns, man. So, yeah, I do a happy hour every day on my Instagram and Facebook Live, and I play what I call, like you say, brown liquor tavern music, man.
That's that's right. During the stay-at-home orders, Damon just hosts a happy hour each day. A lot of his guests included has included Tiffany Haddish, Dion Cole, Kim, George Wallace, Anthony Brown. Okay, Mac, I guess we ain't got that call yet, Mac. What's up with that, man?
It's coming. I was just, I was actually just searching my email for Ed Damon Wynn. It didn't come up yet, but I'll keep searching.
I'm going to have my people reach out to your people. We'll get
there. There you go. There you go.
There you go.
That's what's up, man. Make sure you check it out, man. I checked it out. It's good stuff. Hey, Damon, we got to get you to comment. I know you being from Chicago. I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. You are a Chicago Bulls fan. I'm making an assumption.
Man, I'm down for everything Chicago, all my teams, even during the terrible years. I am a true fan. But the beauty of that whole Last Dance, man, that was so reminiscent for me because I had season tickets for the Bulls for like nine of the all the championships years, though, for sure. I saw all the incredible things Michael Jordan did, man, and those and how he won those championships with some of them scrubs on the bench. You know what I mean? People got rings that shouldn't have rings, but thanks to Mike, they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the Bill Winningtons and the the Will Perdues of the world.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a magnificent thing, man. Definitely, I'm a Bulls fan.
So what I guess you already gave us a look feedback. What was your overall – what's your overall feedback about the documentary itself?
Well, it was good to see Michael kind of unrestricted, even though we don't know what they cut because he had final cut on it. But the access they gave us because, you know, yeah, no, you know, Michael, like, nope, I don't want that in there. That makes me look bad.
I like the way you said the unrestricted approved by Michael version.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why nobody on the set had Visine, though. Why did Michael Jordan's eyes?
Wow.
Stay, I saw that. You know, I saw that.
Speaking of brown liquor, the man looked like he just came out of tavern every episode. But
you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but it was a good thing, man. It was good to finally get some, you know, to pull the curtain back. Because at one point, I used to hang out with the Bulls because my sister was close with Scottie Pippen for a little while. So after the games, we might go to Scottie's house. We might go to, you know, eat dinner and things of that nature. But Mike was hardly ever around. So, you know, it was good to see the access. Now I'm friends with his ex-wife, Juanita, and her whole family because they're all Chicago people, too. And so I've been to Juanita's parties, and, you know, so I've met Mike a couple of times. Tell you a funny story about Mike. Let me tell you, this dude, you know, he is so down with himself. I was at a party, right, and he was coming down some stairs on this deck. It was a rooftop deck. And he stumbled down the bottom step, and I hit him in the small of his back and kind of kept him sturdy. And he said, I wouldn't go fall. I'm graceful.
He is so oh, man.
My man. He said, don't worry, I wasn't gonna fall. I'm graceful.
That sounds like Mike right there.
Classic.
Yeah, true story. True story.
That's a classic. So Damon, man, listen, man, you talked about, you know, being in Chicago through and through. What was the sentiment around? Because, you know, Scottie's kind of come out and say, well, you know, he wasn't extremely ecstatic about how he was portrayed. How do Chicago fans, you know, treat Scottie, and how do they feel about Scottie?
Well, I mean, you know, like Michael said, man, when you mention Michael, you got to mention Scottie, man. It's just that Scottie, you know, had some faux pas, you know, the whole migraine early on in his career.
Yeah.
And then the cool coach incident when he sat out the game. You know, those two things really kind of blemished him a little bit, but he's been well received since. You know, he was back here until recently when he just got let go by the team. He threw a little shade at them, too, and they let him go. He's like, yeah, that's cool anyway because I like to associate myself with winners. But he's like, shot.
Wow. Wow.
Shot fired. Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, he did. But you know, we love Scotty, man, because, like I said, to watch his growth and maturity, he had Horace Grant early on was really – it was an amazing thing, man. And see, prior to them winning, Chicago was a Bears – city. It was a Chicago yep. Bears city ever since yep. the 85 Bears. You know, it's a football town to begin with. So, I mean, because we had some really lousy teams back in the day. I mean, you know, when you had people like Artis Gilmore and Norm Van Leer and all those guys, they were great, but they didn't really, you know, make playoff runs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the only right. time you went to the game is when the Lakers came or when Dr. J came, you know, and otherwise you could get those tickets at the gas station. so you're like, let me get 10 on pump two and two of them Bulls tickets, man. Like
$12. $12.
$12.
Look, that sounded like the Redskins tickets last year. That sounded like the Redskins ticket last year.
Oh, that's funny, man.
Yeah, but then you know, it became transformed. You know, you used to be able to walk up to the you know day of and get tickets. Man, once Mike came and they started winning and playing, it became a really magnificent thing. It was a culture around the city. And then we got spoiled. We got so used to winning. It was like, of course we're going to the playoffs. Of course we're going to the championship. Of course we're going to win. So right. It was great. I just would have liked to have seen what – I think they would have won at least 7 titles if he hadn't had the little – hiatus in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. They even talked about the fact that, you know, if they would have been asked to come back and kept Phil Jackson intact, they would have went for the 7th title, you know, at the end of that, you know, that season or so. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see nobody, especially in the East at that time, you know, keeping them from getting to the finals. And then, you know, after Utah back-to-back, we stole their heart. They were out of there, so it would have been, I guess, if things went as they went, it would have been us against the Rockets. And that would have been a challenge as well, because that African, he wasn't nothing to play with.
I know that's right.
Tim Duncan said, you try to guard him.
I mean, he had David Robinson all twisted up. He jumping around by himself.
Yeah, man, it was crazy. They still going to his camp to learn how he did that to them. 30 years later.
To the African, ain't no joke. We're talking to Damon Williams, comedian, who has a comedy special out, Last Tonight with Damon Williams. It's available now on Urban Flix and has an upcoming movie called White People Money with Drew Sidora and Bart Fitzsimmons. Let's talk about that project, if you
will. Okay, I don't want to graze over Last Tonight. Last Tonight is actually a comedy series, and it's going to be 8 episodes, and we're going to release it sort of like the Last Dance. There's going to be 2 episodes released per week for the next 4 weeks starting Monday. And it's 3 comedians. Oh. Yeah, 3 comedians per episode. Plus, I do a sit-down interview with each comedian. And Urban Flix is actually a black-owned streaming network service, but it's not what you think. When you hear urban, you think black, of course, and there's nothing wrong with that. But their tagline is redefining urban because we have a severely multicultural audience. On this show, I have comedians from Russia, Koreans, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans.
Oh, wow.
Have a lot of ladies doing stand-up because I think women are underserved on you. So look for Last Night with Damon Williams on Urban Flix, and you'll see. The commercial is running all over the place now, like promoting it, but the episodes will be up on the network with a bunch of other original content. Then the movie White People Money, which we were going to do our premiere, right, March 13th, that Friday the 13th, but that's right the weekend that they shut stuff down, so we had to push it back. And thank God they did, because, you know, I was already around a bunch of people in different places, hot spots. I was in the Bay Area right after the Bay Area spiked, I was on the black ski trip with the black skiers, and it was like 600 of us that went, and 100 people came back positive, and then I had an aunt, my mother, my brother.
Where was the black ski summit? Where was it this year? Where was that? Where was it this year?
It was in Sun Valley, Idaho.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, so okay. I've been dodging this Rona, man. Tell you, I feel like a knife thrower's assistant, and Rona been all around my head.
Still chasing.
Man, once they told me to come to the house, I've been in the house, man. We was quarantined for real around here. We went and stocked up. It's just me and my wife. We ain't letting nobody over here, and we ain't going nowhere. And that, as you all know, let me get back to white people money, though. White people money is about this young couple, and there's a benefactor that bestowed, like, they actually get, like, $1 billion. And what happens behind that, you know, when you get rich and all the antics and then the people and the, you know, the people coming trying to get money from you. They was trying to keep it a secret because they knew how our people are when they find out you got some money. It ain't got to be a million. You get your income tax, you start getting visitors. So that's the premise of the film, man, without giving anything away. And hopefully right after they let us back out, I think they may have to just release it online, but It's a fun cast and a fun project that I was a part of.
Oh man, sounds good. Okay. Go ahead, Mac. That sounds good.
Yeah, Damon, you know, just listen that you talk about all the projects you guys that you're involved in and all the things you're doing. I'm trying to get a sense now, just trying to figure this out. Like once it started, you got, you know, like you say, you've been quarantined, you've been locked down, but you still have, you know, you still got a business to run, you still have things to do. How has the adjustment been for you just trying to figure out, all right, let me see how I switch gears and, you know, start doing different things? I see you doing, you know, the Instagram and some other stuff, but how has the overall adjustment been for you?
Well, luckily for me, we just had wrapped on Laugh Tonight, so I had a few proceeds. Otherwise, I'd probably be selling weed right now.
Facts, brother. Trust me, we get it.
Hey, survive of the fittest, baby. You survive of the fittest. What are you playing?
You know, the stand-up industry has been around since, you know, vaudeville. So we've never, it's an unprecedented change. We've never had to just stop doing what you do. And I've been doing stand-up for 27 years, and it's the first time that I didn't know for a day or two, you know, where my next dollar was going to come from. So, but the human spirit and creative people definitely have innovation. So, you know, we all shifted to virtual. Actually, I just shot a pilot, and we're doing two more episodes of that for a show called Comedy Squares, or sort of like Hollywood Squares, where we got comedians. Yeah. So, you know, everybody's virtual, everybody's on the Zoom. And then I'm the host, and, you know, the comedians get the questions and blah, blah, blah. So a lot of people, there's a cat in New Orleans, I'm speaking of Dodge and Arona, that's his kind of his tagline, where he does stand up from his house, and he has like 7 people in the living room, so you have a little audience, and he has a comedian either stop by or come in virtually, and then they put their Cash App up, and, you know, if you get enough viewers and the viewers are happy with what you do, then they contribute. So there's ways to do it like that. But I think eventually, even when they ease us back out, it's not going to open right up. So my business model has already been, and Facebook has been real proactive with this, where they're going to create a live stream, fee-based live stream, so you can actually, you know, do a pay-per-view for people. So I think if they only let 50 people in the club, clubs can't really, you know, thrive like that. And I hope Goodnight is listening.
You're
out there with you guys this weekend.
Man.
You put 50 people. This was my weekend. That's how this call came about. Not to say that we can't do this call again, because this has been fun, man. Get some more tavern music, and next time I will have my liquor prepared. But
I tell you what, we may do so. We do a drop in too on Tuesday night, so we may get you invited for that too.
Yeah, let me know. But I think that they're gonna have to do like live plus virtual. So if you can only get 50 people in the room, then you put up a fee-based stream, but you got to take everybody else's phones because people won't have it on their phones. But then you can definitely sustain the club by, you know, supplementing the income from or the revenue from the shows, even though you have a limited audience. So that's my plan, because I run a club here in Chicago called Riddles Comedy Club. And once they give us the green light, that's what we're going to do. And so I noticed some clubs in Texas, because, you know, Texas, they so rebellious. They didn't want to close, so now they already season back open. They got their clubs, so they selling tables, but the tables are socially distanced. But you can't buy, like, individual tickets. You have to purchase the table, and that way you're sitting with the people you came with. So I guess that's one level of precaution. Even though y'all going to the same bathroom, and if you sneeze in the parking lot, it still might get on you. But in the meantime, you know,
that's funny.
Texas do what Texas do.
I know. We're rocking and rolling with comedian Damon Williams. And some people listening in, and they texted me, Damon, that they want to know How did you get started?
Well, it's interesting, man, because during that era when the Bulls were kicking it, in 1990 to 92, I owned a Subway sandwich shop downtown Chicago. And this was before that franchise really took off nationally. And so people used to come in there, including a lot of athletes, because it was right down the street from this downtown major arena health club where all the athletes worked out and such. So this membership guy gave me tickets to come down there. He gave me a pass to do the club, be in the club for the sandwiches for his staff. So in that club, I heard some people talking and happened to hear him say, man, last night we went to this open mic, man. It's good. The chick with the big lips was hosting. It was crazy. So that turned out to be Adele Givens. Yeah, so she was still doing open mic hosts. And so I was like, man, I was really interested in comedy. So I went and I tried out, man. And, I had sold my Subway. And I just kept doing comedy from there. And I never looked back. So fortunately, early on in my career, a lot of opportunities came. Because this club, all jokes aside, there's a documentary called A Funny Business of Black Comedy. And funny is spelled P-H. I recommend y'all check it out. Because everybody came through, all jokes aside. And people like Dave Chappelle, Steve Harvey, all four of the kings of comedy. That's how I ended up on that tour. This is how Steve Harvey ended up starting his radio career, because All Jokes Aside used to pay for him to go up there on Fridays and promote the show. And so the program director, L. Ray Smith, eventually gave him a job. And he'll tell you to this day he got his radio start from promoting that club and trying to help out because it was a black-owned club. So, I went to open mic. And next thing you know, 6 months later, Comedy Central was there, and they filmed a show hosted by A.J. Jamal called Comic Justice. And Comic Justice was like the opposite of Def Jam. It was socially conscious, clean comedy, with black comics. Right. And that was my first opportunity. They had no idea I'd only been doing comedy 6 months. So they, but since I was hosting the open mic at that point, they put me like as a coordinator to help them find the comedians and all that. So I get on there and do my set. And I think I had a 7-minute set, and at the 4th minute, I drew a blank, and I was like, I was like, oh man, I ain't know the rest of my joke. And I was like, oh, now I got it, and I finished it. And they edited it, but they was like, man, what happened? I'm like, shit, I forgot, because I only been doing this for 6 months. They're like, 6 months.
They're like, what are you talking about, 6 months?
Right, it was crazy. So actually, that show was produced by Mark Atkins, who's Sinbad's brother, and his manager, and a guy named Andre West. So, once you get an opportunity like that, it goes from the next to the next to the next. And I just stayed still. So that's the reason why I didn't really, kind of blossom nationally where household name status, because I went into the college market from that. Because once you did BET Comic View or Def Comedy Jam, the kids knew you. So it was way more lucrative to go and get that college budget as it was to go out to L.A. and try to sleep on couches and hope you get discovered by some guy with a cigarette. Hey, kid, I got to make a name for you, all that. I wasn't trying to do that. I had a kid to feed, so it worked out. Okay. And 27 years later, I made my way to the show with Reese and Kay. What's happening?
Hey, that's what's up. You know what? I tell you, I'm just checking. Meredith just reminded me. Yeah, you definitely were supposed to be in this weekend. And trust me, you would be in the studio. We would have a lot of fun because we rock and roll like this every day, just like this. I noticed you do something you on the show. You got your radio. You on the show in Cleveland? Is it the Cleveland that you're on?
Yeah, okay. Cleveland. It's broadcast locally in Cleveland, but you can hear it, because everything is online. WZAKCleveland.com is how they listen in. But the Sam Silk Show, and Sam Silk is one of my Chicago brothers, and he went out to Cleveland and made a name for himself with an afternoon show. And I call in, it's a spinoff to the feature I used to do on Tom Joyner, which is called Damon What You Think. So every Tuesday and Thursday at 2:15 Eastern, I come on with my thoughts of the day or, top stories or goofy stories. So it's a combination of what I think and like a flashback to Seriously Ignorant News we used to do on Tom Joyner.
Oh, man. Wow.
I'm glad we got you on. I'm probably going to get an answer to a burning question I had about subways in Chicago. How in the hell is Jesse Smollett going to get a Subway sandwich at 2:00 in the morning in Chicago? Huh? I mean, you own one, so you're from Chicago, so you're the right guy to answer this question, because I want to know. Look, I'm from the South, brother. Look, trust me. That's a lot of stuff open at 2:00 in the morning, like Waffle House, a lot of other stuff. But I'd be damned if I'm walking out at sub-zero degree temperature to get a Subway sandwich, unless it's just a Chicago thing. Help me out.
It's not, because that's why my subway didn't work, because Chicago didn't eat food with Subway for years. We got sandwich shops that got more meat and everything. But the thing with Jussie Smollett, as a Chicago dude and as a dude in general, as soon as I heard the story, I knew he was lying. I'm like, first of all, it was 18 minus below. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Second of all, and this is no slur to anybody, but he went out and said he was going to get a tuna sub at 2 in the morning. And Jussie is openly gay. Now, anybody that knows anything about gay dudes, they don't mess with fish like that. They not rushing out. They don't do the fish, man. Now, if he said, I was on my way out to get a foot-long meatball, I'm like, yep, that makes sense.
But that is stupid.
That's believable.
David, you wrong for that now. You wrong for that.
No disrespect to the LGBTQ community, but I'm just saying, any woman about her gay friend, she's like, nah, they don't do fish. So that would be a response. But other than that, you know, the rest of the line was preposterous, too, because ain't no MAGA hats walking around downtown Chicago at 2 in the morning with no noose. This ain't that type of country.
Right.
We got practice shooters around here, so... We got accurate shooters running around at 2 in the morning in Chicago. So what you don't want to do is be out messing with black men randomly.
But yeah, you're right, because he definitely wouldn't be looking for no uncooked fish. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, see, if it was a catfish, even as a black man straight on gay, you go out looking for some catfish, baby, some perch, but you ain't finna go find no tuna fish salad in the middle of 2 in the morning.
A perch. Ocean perch. Hey, David, tell people how they can follow you, man, because they want to follow you with all this great content. When people want to, how can they follow you on social media?
Everything you want to know about me basically online is at DamonWilliamsComedy.com. That is my website. It has all the links to all my social media. But if you want to just jump direct to Instagram or Facebook, it's Damon Williams Comedy. Twitter is different because somebody had my name, and Damon Williams Comedy is too long for a Twitter handle. So I just have at Damon William with no S on the end, because I need to find out where dude is so I can get my S back. If somebody used my name and he ain't using it for nothing.
He said, get my S back. Get my S back.
Yeah, we're going to ride out. We're going to get some of these active shooters and go get my S.
All right, OJ, keep on. That's how OJ got in trouble.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Trying to go get a helmet.
His cleats.
You know,
you gotta go get his cleats, man.
All humor is views, and they're not funny, and they're not true. All right, I want a problem. Y'all got some type of FCC situation going on, but nah. Damon Williams Comedy for everything, man. And look, guys, from 6 to 8 Eastern, jump on the happy hour, man. I do play tavern music. I play a little Mel Waters. I play a little. I play a little Tyrone Davis, play a little Johnny Taylor, but I also play like good grown R&B and stuff like that. And you know, like I say, I have special guests calling in. So if you guys just pop on at some point, send me a direct message, man. I'll put you up live, and we can do this face to face on virtual.
But we're gonna do it, man. So it's 6 to 8 the Central time or Eastern time?
That's Eastern. Yeah, I just for the region.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey man. Hey man. Hey Dame, this has been a lot of fun. We're gonna connect definitely, man, because there's a lot of synergy here, man. Keep on doing what you're doing, brother. Seriously.
Man, I appreciate that. And you guys, when comedy opens back up and it's safe to do so, please go out and support live stand up. We need all the laughs we can get. And trust me, a lot of comedians got a lot of material because we've been stuck in these houses. We started off married, they're going to end up single, so you might be able to meet you a comedian, because this quarantine is it's a relationship test. Look, I'll tell you right now, I figured it out early on. You know, they say happy wife, happy life. I said happy spouse, happy house. So we try to, you know, we started working out together. Yesterday I did a honeydew project, painted the kitchen with her. Do stuff like that. A can of paint go a long way around the house, man.
I'm trying to tell you.
You have arguments. But, you know, because people will say, well, you've been together. Y'all been together 12, 13 years. I'm like, yeah, we've been together all these years. But we ain't never been together this many hours. I'm talking about in a row.
All right, bro. All right, man. Stay safe out there.
Be good,
appreciate
brother.
You, brother. Thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate
thanks
you.
Y'all cut me out. I told y'all I'm in the house. Y'all can't keep talking. I'm kidding. Y'all thanks, man. I'll talk to y'all later, man. Definitely.
Yeah,
I'll be back to North Carolina. See you soon.
You've been listening to the best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.